Thank you, ladies. Praise the Lord. That is good. And take your Bibles, go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and this passage of Scripture is a scathing description of the sinfulness of the world. And it is just, I mean, the whole passage we could have read on and just seen the God is angry about how the world has become. And really, I've been preaching on the flesh now on Sunday nights since January 15th, I believe, was the first time. And so we're going on a month now. And again, I say, as I did last week, we probably will finish tonight, but you never know. This is flesh right here. Chapter 2 is just when flesh is just manifested, and the world is such a mess. We see the sinfulness of the world, verses 1 to 3, so clearly. False prophets, again, it doesn't just stop with worldliness and wickedness where we think it would. It's religion. It's false prophets among the people. False teachers among you, right among God's people. It's just the epitome again of flesh and wickedness, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and certainly we see that today. And through covetousness. There, by the way, covetousness always is a sign of flesh about to be on display, the manifestation. Where there's covetousness, there's going to be some. There's a desire. There's a hunger for sin and unrighteousness. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. And so, you know, just a scathing description of flesh and worldliness and the world. And then he says very clearly, if God spared not, he talks about the angels or demons, the sinful angels, if God didn't spare them, but he cast them to hell, he says, if God, and he spared not the old world, talking about the flood, he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Says he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, honestly, America is a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah today, honestly. And God, you know, clearly says God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He reduced it to ashes. Of course, we just kind of go on and say, well, you know, that's not going to happen to us. But anyway, boy, you know, I mean, and God says this in verse 6, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. He said, you know, the world can look back, and the world can look back at how God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but the world just says, well, we're not worried about it. We're going to do our own thing. But I like what it says then in verse 7. It says, and delivered just Lot. And then it goes on, and it says in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, praise God for his deliverance. Amen. Praise God that we will be delivered. We talked about it in Sunday school, going through the book of Revelation, talked about how we will be delivered. Amen. The rapture is going to take place. I cannot imagine anything worse than being left behind on this earth when the tribulation takes place. I just cannot imagine anything worse than that, honestly. I mean, as you think about it, when all of God's people are gone, the rapture takes place and the Holy Spirit is in us, and that influence will be gone in this world, it is going to be total chaos. And then God says, I'm going to show you my anger. I'm going to show you my wrath. I cannot imagine how bad. Praise God, we are delivered from that. Praise God, because of the blood of Jesus, we are delivered from hell. We're not going to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. And I've been told to go there before. And the last person told me to go there, I said, it's not possible. Cannot take place. It cannot be. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me. I'm not going to hell. It's not possible. And we're going to be delivered. But that isn't what I want to preach about, although I'd love to just park on that for a little while. But something caught my attention as I was going through this. And And it just seemed so powerful to me. And two times the word vexed is used. Two times I notice it says in verse 7, delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. And then it goes on and it says in verse 8, that righteous man dwelling among them, talking about Lot, just Lot, righteous Lot, he's a righteous man, dwelling among all these wicked people. And it says, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He vexed his righteous soul every day, day after day after day. I want to talk to you this morning about Lot's vexed soul. And Father, again we come to you and we recognize the United States of America through some of these verses. We certainly recognize the thinking of many, many folks today. We recognize the humanistic philosophies and what you're going to do to deal with that someday. We recognize pagan philosophy and just really we recognize the flesh and God, how your wrath will be poured out one day. And I pray that you'll help us to recognize this morning Lot's vexed soul. And Lord, that vexation is certainly true in our lives as well. And I pray you'll speak to us today. Guide us and direct us into your word. If there's anyone here today who's not saved, I pray you'd save them so they too could be delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. And then I pray, God, that you'll speak to Christians and teach us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Lot became vexed. That's an interesting word, and it doesn't mean what you think it means. It literally means troubled. That's all it means. It just means he was troubled. It is a strong word for troubled. It's almost like a curse. It is troubled so much. It's vexation is the kind of trouble that wakes you up in the middle of the night. It's the kind of trouble that you literally, I mean, you would sit and you would fret over it. It is. He was vexed, the Bible says. And he was vexed. First of all, it says, with filthy conversation of the wicked. He was troubled because he kept hearing it over and over and over. And as a man that sat in a important position in the gate of the city, over and over he would hear the filthy conversation. And it troubled him. And it bothered him. Why would it trouble him? Why would it bother him? Well, because he was a man that was called a just man. He was a saved man. He was a righteous man. And though Lot maybe did not use that language and Lot did not talk about those things, it troubled him day after day to hear that kind of language. It'd be like some of you in a factory. Boy, I pray for our folks that work in the world. And you should pray for the folks here that work in the world. I thank God daily that I'm not around that. I thank God that I'm around godly people. And we start off our day with a staff meeting among Christian people. And Brother Nixon and Brother Chase and the staff come in. And we stand around and we can talk. And I don't have to worry about hearing all that. But some of you can't do that. And boy, we ought to pray for one another. And Lot said, I can't, I'm troubled with this wicked language that I have to hear and the conversation that I hear. I remember years ago working at RCA as a 18, 19-year-old and being in shock at how people talked and how women talked in the factory all those years ago. Over 30 years ago. And I can't even imagine now what it's like. The filthy conversation. He was vexed. He was troubled. It ate at him. It was like a curse to him. He was so troubled with that. But it says this. It says, that righteous man dwelling among them, among those that were going to be wiped out when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. It says that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. He not only heard the filthy conversation, but he saw what all was going on. Sodom and Gomorrah, a haven for homosexuality. But not just homosexual. All kinds of sexual perversion was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Unbelievable things that we would not even talk about in church. And seeing and hearing, the Bible says, vexed his righteous soul, watch this, from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It troubled him. He watched it. He saw it. He couldn't believe that these people would live like animals like they lived. And literally, it was like a curse to him. Day after day after day, he had to hear about it in the news. He had to see it at the gate there with the talk and the actions of the people. And I would imagine that even in church, it was just rampant. The world and its influence. And it troubled Lot so much that the Bible didn't use the word trouble. It used the word vexed. I mean, it was, I believe with all my heart, it was the thing that he wept about the most. I believe it was the thing that he prayed about the most. I believe it was the thing that he worried about the most. He was vexed with the wickedness of mankind and how bad it had become. You say, preacher, I'll tell you, that's kind of how I feel today. Yeah, you know, we look around. And folks, to be honest with you, and you know the story of Lot, and you probably know where I'm headed with this. To be honest with you, that is what we face today. And we look around, but I want to remind you of something. 2 Chronicles 7:14 puts it on us. And I'm sorry. And I feel bad that I have to go back because I know how troubled Lot must have been because I'm troubled the same way often. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, as far as America is concerned, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It doesn't say that the wicked have to turn from their wicked ways. God puts it on us to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and pray. And the reason America is the way America is today is not because of all the wicked, it's because of us. Could I submit to you the reason Lot's vexed the way Lot's vexed today, not today, but then, as we read this, is because of Lot. It was all because of Lot. Mom and Dad, the reason you're having trouble today, now I don't know this for a fact, but I can tell you many times the reason you're having so much trouble and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're vexed because of so much trouble today, because of a child or because of a situation or because of a marriage, to be honest with you, in most cases, it's the same reason Lot was vexed here in 2 Peter. Thank God he was delivered. Thank God he got to get out of there before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But I have to submit to you today that most did not get out. Most did not get out. And those that Lot loved very, very much didn't get out either. So I have to learn about Lot. And I do feel sorry for Lot. But so many do exactly what Lot did. I believe we've done it here in America. We have another chance. We have another election coming up, and it's a small thing. Honestly, it's not as big as we make it to be, but it is something we can do. And if we don't vote according to God and the way God leads us, we're going to mess up again. I'm not talking about just president. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about if we don't vote and get on our faces before God Almighty and say, "God, save America." We're just as guilty. And the vexation that we have as we watch our country fall apart. The vexation that a parent has as they watch a young person fall apart. The vexation that a friend has as they watch a friend fall apart. It's the vexation of somebody who says, "Boy, I wish I wouldn't have," or "I wish I would have." And it's too late. And I believe that's why Lot was so vexed. You see, we do exactly what he did. He simply made a fleshly, selfish choice in his life. And so I want to look at some things about Lot and his vexed soul. Number one is Lot's faith. There is absolutely no question that Lot was a saved man. In Genesis 15:6, it talks about Abraham said he believed God. And he didn't believe just that God existed, but he believed God. He believed God, and he taught Lot to believe God as well. And it was counted to him for righteousness, the Bible says. And the Bible talks about Lot here and says he's just Lot. The Bible says that he vexed his righteous soul. And so we have to believe that Lot was a saved man. He was a man that had believed God. He had trusted God. He had trusted Christ. If he could have, as we get saved, he would have walked the aisle as maybe a young boy, and he would have trusted Christ as his Savior. He was just Lot. He was righteous Lot. He was saved Lot. And because he was saved Lot, because he had the Lord as his Savior, he was delivered. Praise God for being delivered. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And I do not want you to leave here today and just say, you know, this is such a negative thing, because praise God, the rapture is going to happen. Praise God, when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you know, the biggest threat that somebody can make to us is, I'll kill you, and that means that we're going to go to heaven. I mean, to be delivered from sin and the power of sin and the penalty of sin, to be delivered from that, praise God. Amen. And Lot was delivered. So clearly the Bible says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We're not going to see the tribulation. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be gone. Praise God. That doesn't mean we're not going to see some tribulation. That doesn't mean we're not going to see trials. We do see that every day, each of us. But Lot was a saved man. He had been born again. And I believe that by far the majority of folks here today are saved people. You're on your way to heaven. If you die, you go to heaven. If the rapture takes place, you're gone. I really believe this. And I look out every service and I wonder, what if the rapture were to take place? Who would be just still sitting out there? And it's a scary thought. I remember the day when I would have still been sitting out there. I remember the day that I went to church as a teenager and the invitation was given and I didn't want to get saved. And I said, I'm not going to get saved. I remember crossing my arms and letting the preacher preach walking out saying, no way I'm going to do that thing. And if the rapture had taken place, I would have been the one sitting there and everybody else would have been gone. Can you imagine that? It's hard to even imagine. But I look out often and I wonder, you know, who would be left behind? Are there some here that are not saved? My friend, please get saved today if you're not saved. Please trust Christ as Savior today if you've never done it. He loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. Please, I beg you to get saved today if you've never been saved. I beg you to make that most important decision you could ever make in your life. More important than where you work, more important than your college, more important than who you marry. You need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and call on Him to forgive you and come into your heart and give you eternal life. You need to do that. I don't care if you're a child all the way up to a 95-year-old person here today. I wish you'd get saved. You'd nail it down. You'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die, you go to heaven. There isn't anything more important than that. Thank God Lot's faith was right. Thank God he was saved. Thank God he was a man that was born again. Thank God he's on his way to heaven. Thank God that as we read this, though he's vexed with all the wickedness around him. By the way, thank God he's troubled with all the wickedness. Thank God it bothers him with all the wickedness. But though Lot was delivered, so many that he loved were not. And that's the thing that maybe vexed him the most. Maybe that's what troubled him the most. You know, what about my family? What about those that are, I call them my friends? What about my brothers and my sisters and my family and my co-workers? And what about all them? And he looked around at all the wickedness, and maybe night after night he went to bed and he wept. He was vexed with the wickedness that surrounded him. He was vexed that he had put his kids in all that wickedness. And he was vexed that he put his wife in all that wickedness. And he was vexed that he had put himself in the midst of all that wickedness. Oh yeah, he was a saved man and he was a righteous man in God's sight. But you know, he was a troubled man because of all the wickedness around him. We come to number two, and that's Lot's flesh, because that vexation did not come accidentally. That trouble in Lot's life did not come by circumstance. That trouble in Lot's life was a direct result of Lot's flesh. I preach this today because we're talking about the flesh, and I gave examples and kind of went around Lot because it is something that you can't just treat in a short moment. because his flesh cost him dearly. You say, oh, no, preacher, he got out. He got out of there. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? It is wonderful. And it is going to be wonderful when you go to heaven someday. And it is going to be wonderful if the rapture takes place and we all go, and we're going to be rejoicing all the way up, man. I mean, it's going to be exciting. But I think the vexation, the trouble, the concern, perhaps that troubled Lot day in and day out. What about my daughter? What about my wife? As he watched them fall more and more in love with the world, as he watched the people in his church fall more and more in love with the world, as he watched the people of the country fall more and more in love with the world and wickedness and vile things, it ate at him and ate at him and ate at him to the point where God said he was a man that was vexed. Go to Genesis 13 and verse 10, if you would. Keep your place there in 2 Peter. Genesis 13 and verse 10. And I want to look at Lot's flesh for just a moment, because we're studying the flesh, and I cannot think of anything any more obvious than Lot's flesh here. Genesis 13 and verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes, and here's the crucial decision between Lot and Abraham, and Lot has his choice now where what land to take, and Abraham was his elder. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. It was the best land before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, Sodom and Gomorrah was right there, but it was by far, I mean, it was the best land. It was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar, the Bible says. Then Lot chose him, all the plain of Jordan. If you study carefully the choices that Abraham gave him, that was not one of the choices. Are you listening? If you study carefully as he looked out and the direction he was looking, the choices Abraham gave, that was not one of the choices. And I think because Sodom and Gomorrah was there. But Lot looked out and he saw that. And he said, I want that. I'll take that. He knew what Sodom and Gomorrah was. He could see the bright lights. He knew, he could hear the loud music. He knew what it was. But he chose that because the plain, the land was well watered there. Oh, I know Sodom and Gomorrah is there, but this looks so good. That's, if anything's flesh, that's flesh right there. We make decisions on what feels good, what looks good, what sounds good. That's our flesh. That's our senses. That is our sensuousness. We are so prone. But it tastes good. It looks good. It feels good. And then we make our decision. And that's how Lot made his decision. He chose all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves. By the way, he separated from the one spiritual leader because he knew he was choosing something that the leader did not give him a choice to choose. Are you listening to me? The leader said, you can have this or you can have this. Lot said, I want this. And he separated from that spiritual leader. He wanted nothing to do with that spiritual leader because he knew he was choosing against that spiritual leader. By the way, teenager, that's what you do when you go against mom and dad. It's exactly what you're doing. And that's also why you don't want to talk to them about it. It's what you do when you go against your pastor. It's what you do when you go against the youth director, your teacher, Sunday school teacher, leaders in your life. You just, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to be around you. You know why? Because you're choosing something based on, I like this, instead of based on, what does God want me to do? And that's exactly what Lot did. Hey, you say, I feel bad about Lot. He couldn't sleep at night. He was so vexed. Well, I do feel bad for Lot, but Lot let his flesh do the speaking for him. And Lot made a decision based on his flesh. And he chose the plain of Jordan, and Lot's journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. And folks, understand this. There were some things that Lot did when he chose his flesh. You know, I've been saying this about the flesh. It is our selfishness. That is what our flesh is. It's when we think of us only. And that's what Lot was thinking. You know, Lot wasn't thinking about Abraham. Not at all. He wasn't thinking about Abraham, who was his elder. He wasn't thinking about Abraham, who had helped him and had loved him and had poured out his life for him. He cared for Lot. He didn't think about Abraham. Why wasn't he thinking about Abraham? Because he was thinking about himself. It amazes me when parents think about themselves and don't even, they could care less about their kids. They would never say that. Lot would never have said that. Lot, what about Abraham? Oh, I respect Abraham, but, you know, I want to do this. That's our flesh. Our flesh pushes aside those that love us. Our flesh pushes aside those that are above us, put there by God. Our flesh just discounts everything. That's why God has to tell us to honor our father and mother. Because we're so prone to wander from it. What's that mean? It means to bring honor to them. But wait a minute, Mom and Dad. Before you get too hard on Poindexter and Throckmorton, before you get too hard on, aren't you the one that introduced him to Bart Simpson the first time? By the way, I've never even seen it, but I've seen enough and heard enough about it that I don't know why any parent would ever introduce their child to somebody that is so disrespectful and hateful toward their parents. And there's even worse things today. That goes back a long time ago, and I don't have time to talk about all. I'm just saying, why would you? You know, it's just what Lot did. You say, I'm vexed today because somebody I love very dearly is messing up. But did you introduce them to the very thing that's messing them up? I don't know. Lot didn't care about Abraham. He was thinking about himself. What was going to be best for him? And as I've been talking about the flesh, I want to remind you that the flesh is so deceitful. It's so deceitful. It won't even let you. Your flesh, boy, I like this. This looks so good. And we justify everything and just totally push aside what could happen as a result of our selfishness. He separated from spiritual Abraham because he wanted his own way. Boy, I've been there many, many times. I will do what I want to do. He didn't think about Abraham. You know what? He also didn't think about his family. Notice verse 12. The Bible says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And every day when he got up and every night before he went to bed, he was able to look out toward Sodom. Sodom and all of its filth and wickedness. And Lot, and when Poindexter went to bed, and when Poindexter got up, and they all looked out toward Sodom. Every one of them. He didn't care. He pitched his tent toward the world. Go back to 2 Peter and look what he pitched his tent toward. Here's the thing, you know, and I think that's another reason why he was so vexed with all the wickedness going on, because it wasn't just going on in the world. It was going on in his world, and it was going on in his life, and it was going on among his loved ones, and it was going on among his coworkers and his family, and he's watching it all happen, and he's the guy that pitched the tent toward it in the first place and said, I want to introduce you to the world. By the way, you introduce flesh to the world, flesh always likes it. Always. And you know, when he pitched his tent toward Sodom, he pitched his tent toward, notice verse 10, chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. That's rules, by the way. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Boy, we see that today so much. Unbelievable, you know, and what'd you pitch your tent? Well, I just liked all the bright lights. I liked all the music. I liked all the fun. I liked all, but when you take some of the world, you take all the world, and this is exactly what you get. And he pitched his tent toward verse 18, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Notice, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. When you pitch your tent toward the flesh, the lust of the flesh is going to lure. Yeah, go ahead, mom and dad. Let them watch that stuff. Go ahead, let them listen to that. Let them go those places. Go ahead. Go ahead, but I'm telling you, the alluring of the lust of the flesh, it's going to draw them in. And one of these days, I hope it's not true, but you're going to be vexed, just like Lot was. I see Lot. In my mind, I read this, and I can imagine him there late at night, and he's worrying about his kids, and he's worrying about his wife, and what's she doing, and is she in a chat room talking to some guy? Is she flirting with some other man? Because she was introduced to that by her own husband as he pitched his tent toward the world. He didn't think about them, though, because he was too busy thinking about himself. Well, yeah, but this is perfect for me, and this is going to be perfect for us. And yeah, and you know what? All of his family became worldly, every one of them. What a sad story. Why? Because Lot was selfish, and he wanted things for himself. How sad. How sad that a man would trade his family for anything in this world, and it happens all the time. Because you'll lose him, just like Lot. He was a selfish man. He was a selfish man. By the way, he didn't think about Abraham. He didn't think about his family, but he also didn't think about God. I'm amazed how we just sort of forget about God. He knew what Sodom was. Amen. Hey, Lot, you knew what Sodom was when you pitched your tent, when you said, I want to live there, when you said, I'm gonna go there, I'm going to do that. You knew that. Oh, well, I knew no humans would see what I'm doing. Oh. They can't know what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah, but he does. How can you do that to God? Yeah, but things were more important. And that's what we do. Lot can throw Abraham aside and say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I don't care what you have to say. I want what I want. Yeah, I know. That's when work becomes more important than God. That's when money becomes more important than God. That's when things become more important than God. That's when a position becomes more important than God. That's when a ball game's more important than God. That's when a career is more important than God. That's when some hobby is more important than God. It's a selfish, selfish, selfish way. This morning, do you think more of yourself than you do of God? Do you think more of yourself than you do of your family? Do you think more of yourself than you do of those that you say you love? I'm sure Lot reasoned it all out. Well, I'll just join him and I'll change him. Never happens. Never happens. It just doesn't happen. You're not going to join and change them. Look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2, keep your place here. In Genesis, but go to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Interesting passage. Philippians 2 and verse 19, it says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, I have no man like-minded. He said, I have nobody like me who will naturally care for you. Why? Verse 21, for all seek their own. How frustrating that had to be to him. Nobody else cares for you. I have no man who's like me who will naturally care for you. Why? All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a powerful verse. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's powerful. But he said, who will naturally care? You see, it is unnatural for us to care for each other, to really care for each other. If you have somebody that really cares for you, you ought to thank God every day. You ought to get on your face before God Almighty and thank Him that somebody actually cares about you. Amen. I'm talking about really cares enough to tell you the truth. I mean, they really care about you. Not somebody just tells you what you want to hear so that they can be your friend. Not just somebody that will, or certainly not somebody that will try to turn you against the authority in your life. But somebody that just, I mean, they just genuinely care about you and your life. They actually care. Well, I look around, there's a whole bunch of people that really care about people's lives. It's just not natural to. You know why? Because it's natural for us to care about us more than anything else. That's what's natural. And Lot, unfortunately, Lot decided that he was more important than anything else. By the way, when God gave an opportunity for Sodom and Gomorrah not to be destroyed, you know the story. Lot started begging and begging God not to destroy it. Remember? Or Abraham started begging God, please don't destroy it, God. And he got God down to, okay, if there are 10 righteous people in the city, 10 out of a city of 100,000, 10 righteous people, God said, I'll spare the city. Do you understand there weren't 10? There weren't 10. Lot, what you been doing? What had he been doing? He'd been thinking about himself. You know, when you don't tell somebody about the Lord Jesus, you're thinking about yourself. Somebody cusses and swears and uses God's name in vain. You don't tell them Jesus loves you. He'll save you. You know, we're just being selfish, aren't we? Why is America going to hell? Because we're selfish. Because we're very carnal. Yeah. Why was Corinth going to hell? Because the people were carnal. They were selfish. And when we're selfish with God, we're going to be selfish in all areas. It just follows. Because we just want our own way. Come on, be honest. You know, we just want our own way. Lot, why are you so vexed? I think Lot looked around and he saw the wickedness of man. He saw how wicked everybody's language was and their actions were. And come on, I mean, you know, they the men of the city are trying to rape an angel, a man of God. Are you listening? You know, and it takes a miracle of God just to get the guy out. What a perverted bunch of people. And Lot thought about it day in and day out. Good night, I put my kids among all that. I put my wife. Oh, Lot's wife, how sad. Yeah. And I come to the last thing, that's number three. We've seen Lot's faith, we've seen Lot's flesh. But number three is Lot's failure. You know the story. Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. Genesis 19 and verse 14. I don't know of anything more sad than verse 14 as far as, you know, Dad, you ought to read it over and over and over again. Lot went out. Now Lot knows the city is going to be destroyed. Lot knows the place is going to be destroyed. The angels have told him. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He seemed as one. Come on, we've never heard you say this before. Come on, Lot. We've never heard you act like this before. What's your problem, Lot? Come on. Boy, you know, he was vexed before, day after day after day. And now I believe the tears are pouring down his cheeks. What in the world have I done? Lot, they're used to seeing your flesh, buddy. They're not used to hearing from your spirit. That's why, Mom and Dad, we need to walk with God. That's why, leaders, you need to walk with God. You need to not be so carnal. You need to expose your young people to God and to answers to prayer and not to criticism and gossip and garbage and worldliness. And he seemed like, who? Sons-in-law, family. His grandkids. You talk about being vexed. Yeah, he's vexed now. Chapter 19, verse 26. But his wife looked back. The angel said, if you look back, you'll turn to a pillar of salt. His wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. That's his wife. Lot, what in the world's going on? See, in my mind, Brother Korea, I see them as a young couple, and they're going to do great things for God, and they love the Lord, and they're going to, they read the Bible together, and they pray together, and they're just loving each other. And then one day they got Lot went to the store and bought a computer. He said, honey, he said, I got us hooked up to the internet. Now you can chat with all your friends. That's what I see. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to chat with all your friends, but I'll be honest with you, you better watch out. And you say, preacher, you've talked about that. Well, I'm talking about the flesh. And I don't know of anything that we love hearing how great we are. And we love when somebody tells us what a great husband we must be. Or what a great wife you must be. Boy, your husband sure is fortunate. And you just, oh, brother. And we become totally stupid when our flesh gets allured, don't we? And men do strange things, and women do strange things. And all of a sudden, we look around and it's so wicked around us. And that's what happened to his wife. His two daughters committed incest with him, got him drunk and committed incest with him, and had babies by their own father. And those are the nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites who have given Israel trouble even to this day. Oh, it goes real far. You say, Lot, wait, what are you so troubled about? Because of what I've done. That's why I'm so troubled. Because I could have made a difference. I could have taken a stand. I could have told people about Jesus. I could have told my family. I could have kept them out of all this mess. That's why he's so vexed. Selfish, 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 selfish. When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, Lot must have realized it's too late now. Oh, yeah. Hey, Lot, aren't you glad you got out? You know, somehow I don't think he was throwing a party because of all that didn't. Pity the Christian that says, well, at least I'm going to heaven. How sad. Don't be selfish, folks. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. You start making decisions based on selfishness, you're going to be a bitter person. You're going to die with sorrow. You're going to die alone. I close with Luke 17:32. It's a verse that I memorized. You can memorize it too. You know what it says? Remember Lot's wife. It's an easy verse. Almost as easy as Jesus wept. I think the two kind of go together, really. Remember Lot's wife. Well, she made the choice. Well, I understand that. I understand that. She did. She made a very bad choice. But the truth of the matter is, it didn't start with her choice. It started with the one who exposed her to the choice. Remember Lot's wife. This morning, remember your spouse. That's the person you stood, you vowed. You'd love them. I love my wife. I'm not going to expose her to anything that's going to hurt her. Yeah, remember your spouse. Remember, as you expose her to the world, she's a human being, that's all. She's flesh. Remember it. Remember as you gossip to your wife, fellas. Men are some of the worst gossips in the world. We always blame women. It's men are worse than women most of the time. Remember as you come home and you gripe and complain about work and gripe and complain about everything that's going on. Remember your spouse as you expose her to negativity. remember your spouse, ma'am, as you expose him to wickedness and things that, you know, he's just flesh. That's all he is. Yeah, remember your spouse. Remember your spouse is a human being, and they're prone to wander. Remember that. Remember your children. They're little human beings. Remember them as you expose them to filth that they're going to like. Remember them. Remember those children that as you turn that thing on and say, oh, this will be good. Remember, they're just little flesh. Remember. Remember. Think about it. Oh, I know they're only 8 or 9 years old now, but someday they're going to be 15, 16, 17 years old. Remember, as you're vexed. Remember your siblings, brothers and sisters that you expose to garbage. Remember. Remember. Remember your loved ones. Remember your coworkers. Remember Lot's wife. Think about Lot's wife the next time selfishness sets in. And just in your mind, think about how much damage you're going to do. You say, oh, it only affect me. It's not true. What about Lot? Oh, Lot was delivered. Lot was, he's delivered. But his wife, his sons-in-laws, his grandkids, his daughters, everybody else was affected by that one selfish decision that Lot made. Don't blame Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. Don't blame all the wickedness of the world. You know where the blame comes? It comes to us. It always comes to us. As we're vexed, and honestly, we will become more and more vexed with a wicked, wicked world. There is legislation. You're not going to believe some of the stuff they're talking about today. You are not going to believe the filth. I mean, did you ever think we'd talk about what is a marriage? Did you ever think that'd ever be a question? Oh, yeah. It's nothing compared to stuff that's coming up today. And all I say is the next time you have an opportunity to be selfish, why don't you remember Lot's wife? Let's all remember Lot's wife. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you've never been saved. I beg you to get saved. I said it earlier, Lot was a man that had believed what God said. He believed God. He believed that he had to call upon him and he had to be forgiven. He believed it and he did it. I trust you'll do that today if you're not saved. If you're a Christian and God is speaking to your heart, I trust you'll get it settled. If you have just a tinge of selfishness that is, you're about to do something totally foolish and it's going to affect it, remember. Remember. Father, bless the invitation now, please. I pray that we'll all think very, very hard about the vexation of Lot. And how, Lord, we become more and more troubled with all that's going on around us. Help us to remember that we have a part and that we can make a difference. And I pray we would make that difference in Jesus' name. Amen.